If it's Thursday, 6 p.m., that means it's time for Perspectives by John Pierce. Good evening and welcome to Perspectives with John Pierce here on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. I'm your host, and our engineer this evening is James Zibrot. My guest is Judith W. Umless. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Judith first. She is a woman of many interests. She's Senior Vice President, author, and trainer at International Institute for Learning, a global corporate training company. She's author of The Power of Acknowledgement. Her book, Grateful Leadership, Using the Power of Acknowledgement to Engage All Your People and Achieve Superior Results, and You're Totally Awesome, The Power of Acknowledgement for Kids. Judith delivers inspiring, motivational, and transformational keynote addresses on grateful leadership and the power of acknowledgement all over the world. She also leads webinars and teaches full-day virtual and traditional courses to organizations such as Volvo, the U.S. Army, Prudential, the World Bank, Fannie Mae, IBM, AT&T, Google, Amway, the New York Police Department, and many others. I think, Judy, it might have been shorter just to name the ones you don't go for. Grateful leadership and the power of acknowledgement are Judith's passion, her mission, and her purpose. She attended New York University, graduating cum laude and Phi Beta Kappa with a Bachelor of Arts in English. After a year of high school teaching, she entered the television industry, working for WCBS-TV as a writer, producer, and manager for the next 12 years. Judith, why did you spend only 1 year teaching?
Okay, well, I was trained to teach junior and senior high school students in English, literature, books. And I was, still am, a baby boomer. And when I got out of NYU, there were no teaching jobs around whatsoever. They were all filled. And there was this one job open as a teacher of eighth grade challenged students. And I was really not trained for that at all. And I did it for a year. The most successful thing I did was get scripts from CBS, from their television reading program, and I got soap operas and sports shows and you name it, and used that as reading material. And they did love it. And it was fun once I could, you know, get them to have fun with it. But I really wanted to do something else. And my little brush with CBS led to a career there, the start of a whole new career where I became a producer-writer of the opinion of the management of WCBS-TV. And I used to do editorials in the field, as they say. We went out with camera crews. I mean, it was, you know, back in the day. But I loved that. And eventually I left to go into the corporate training world, just by accident.
You have a great enthusiasm for whatever you do. The International Institute for Learning. You joined that in 1992. Mm-hmm. And now you are Senior Vice President, author, and trainer.
I actually got a promotion. I'm a Senior Executive Director.
All right.
And you don't have to salute me.
So tell us a little bit about the International Institute for Learning.
I'm happy to do that. It's a global corporate training company. We're in every continent, practically. And we do many things. We train in project, program, portfolio management, leadership. We just had our 21st International Project Management Day online conference yesterday. And there were well over 10,000 people who attended that online, 8 hours from 9 to 5. And they have 90 days to keep watching it. They have the material accessible for 90 days. So, I mean, it's always something innovative, something different. And when I proposed to the CEO of our company, back in 2006 that I wanted to write a book, which she supported. She said, what's it called? And I had just had a very disheartening experience with a barista, if you want to call it that, at Dunkin' Donuts. She gave me what I ordered, a small black half decaf, half regular caramel coffee. You got that?
Well, that sounds good.
Yeah, it was delicious. And I came back the next day and I ordered it again. She smiled and she gave it to me. The third day I get there at the head of the line, she's holding up a cup. And I said, what's that? She said, you know, it's your small black half decaf, half regular caramel coffee. Yeah. And I said, you are a genius. How did you ever learn that order? I can barely remember it. And she looked at me and the tears started rolling down her cheeks. And she said, I have never received a compliment. I have only gotten complaints in all the time I've been here.
Wow.
And I said, okay, that does it. And I just went to the CEO and I said, I have to write a book. What's it called? The Power of Acknowledgement, because that's what that woman was desperate for.
Absolutely.
And so I wrote the book. We published it under the IIL, International Institute for Learning, brand, publishing brand. And suddenly, I'm training leaders in Trinidad and Helsinki, Finland, and Brazil, and all over the world. I'm training leaders in the power of acknowledgement, which you would think people would know to do. And they all know how to do it, and they know they should do it, but they don't do it. So I motivate them. I get them challenged, upset, angry, happy, thrilled. We have exercises, and suddenly they're calling people they should have acknowledged 22 years ago. I've had those incidents occur in my class.
Well, that's exciting.
It's amazing.
Wow.
So that's that.
That's that. Now, the interesting part about this interview is all of this bio that I just read that Judy is into, these books that she's written, her career that she had at CBS, and now with the International Institute for Learning, is not really the topic of our interview today.
It's not?
So, Judy, what are we going to talk about today?
I don't
know. Let's see how we're going to fill the next 20 minutes.
I have a nomination.
Yeah. So tell us about the books that have nothing to do with what we just discussed.
Okay. I wrote two books called Soulmates and Strangers and Âme Sœur et Inconnue. And that means Soulmates and Strangers, but in French. Why did I write that in French? And it was actually translated from the English into French, but the translator was somebody that I had been studying French with just to keep my conversational skills going. And we worked together on the translation. We fought, we argued, we cried. Yeah, it was wonderful. But so those were the two books. But the book developed, do you want me to go way back to the beginning?
Yes.
Okay, well, I had always known growing up, I was born in the Bronx, then I moved to New Rochelle with my family. We stayed there till I went to college. And all the time that I was growing up, I knew of this pen pal that my mother had named Claudia. And I never met her. My mother had never met her. And she'd been writing to her for decades, literally decades.
Your mother is in New Rochelle.
Was, yes. And the Bronx, I was born in the Bronx,
right,
so it started
so
there.
New York City. And then Claudia is in France.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And how did that happen, I asked at one point. How did you and Claudia start writing? My mother said, well, we were both studying each other's language, not knowing each other, but I was learning French in the Bronx, New York, and she was learning English in Lyon, France. And each of our teachers had reached out to try to get their students excited about the other's language. And it's not from a textbook, you know, it's not, telling somebody it's time to go to the market and buy fruit, you know, in French, you know. Mets-toi maintenant, Brigitte, tu vas m'accompagner au marché. I remember that from, like, you know, seventh grade. Anyway, that means come to the market with me. We have to buy some flowers. No, it was not that. So this brilliant teacher said, let's connect our students. He found a class, the one in New York was the one who initiated it, in 1936. And he reached out to a teacher in Lyon, France, and the teacher in Lyon was thrilled to do this. So they had their two classes ready to write to each other, you know, 25 students ready to write. Well, who wants a pen pal? They each asked in their own language. One person in New York, Sylvia Handler at the time, and one person in Lyon, France, Raymond Claudia Bouillard. They said, I want a pen pal. I want one in New York. I want one in France. They were connected, and it was like serendipity, synchronicity, fate, whatever you want to call it. But they were connected, and they were connected for life.
So this is your mother and the pen pal in France,
yes.
And it's in the 1930s.
Yes.
And so tell us about the letters that you discovered then. How did all that happen?
Well, I always knew that when my mother got a letter from Claudia, it was like a treasure. And as I was taking French in junior high school and high school, I started to try to read the letters, but it was tiny little handwriting. Frankly, they were a little bit boring. But, you know, my mother read every word and studied it and worked very hard to write back in French. Now, Claudia wrote in English. So they practiced each other's language that they were really learning. And so my mother had, you know, the letters coming in, and Claudia had the letters from my mother, I assumed. But at one point, my mother said to me, this was when I was in high school, between high school and college, she said, Judy, how would you like to spend the summer in France and live with my pen pal Claudia? Who she, by the way, no one else called her this, but she called her Raymond, which was her given name. Nobody else called her that. Everybody else called her Claudia, but it was very special. And so I said, Ma, that's what you say to your mother, you know, when you're 18. Ma, why would Claudia and her husband Mario, they don't have children, why would they want to be responsible for an 18-year-old person, you know, for a summer? And my mother said, it's all arranged. You just have to say yes.
Oh, your mother had just gone ahead and done it.
Well, they had been talking about it for months with their letters, okay. Through their letters, back and forth. And this is what we'll do when Judy comes, not when, not if, when Judy comes to France. And
What year was that?
1965.
65.
And that's when I graduated from high school. So it was all, I said yes. That's all I had to say was yes. And I had the most glorious summer of my life with, I would get choked up, I can't help it, but Mario and Claudia were my French parents.
Yes, indeed. This is a great story. Listeners, hang in there with us. It's time for us to take a break. My guest this evening is Judith Umlis, and she is telling us about pen pal letters from the 1930s and 1940s. Those of you who are interested in history, this is for you. We will be back in just a moment here on WDIY 88.1 FM.
The World Blend is an international mix of music traditions, exploring new music and familiar favorites from indie rock, reggae, zydeco, afro pop, and roots music from every continent. An adventurous soundtrack for your Saturday afternoon, whether busy or relaxed. Join us Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. for The World Blend, right here on WDIY.
And we're back talking about pen pals. Judy Umlis is my guest this evening. Her mother and a woman named Claudia and Raymond from France had a correspondence between New York City or New York State and Lyon, France, in the 1930s and 1940s. And then What about these letters, Judy? How did you come? You're the daughter, and how did you come across the letters?
Well, after I went to France the summer between high school and college and lived with Mario and Claudia, I came home speaking fluently, almost fluently, and decided I'd definitely pursue it in college. And meanwhile, the letters kept coming to my mother from Claudia and from my mother to Claudia in France. And I never was particularly interested in reading them at the time. But after my trip there to France, I was telling you and your wonderful listeners about my trip to France between high school and college, and it was just amazing. And that started a trend. Now, Mario and Claudia came to New York and stayed with us and with my parents. It was about 2 months that they stayed. And Mario and Claudia and my mother, Sylvia, had never met. I met the pen pal before my mother did.
Ah.
Which is really...
Over in Lyon.
Yeah. When I lived with them
right.
for a whole summer. And it was amazing. So it was suddenly like we were family. We were connected in every way but blood. And then the trips went back and forth and back and forth. And when my son was 14, we'd had some family challenges. And I said to him, because I wanted to give him a special gift and special attention. And I said, what would you like to do? Where would you like to go? And he said, I want to go to Lyon and meet Mario and Claudia. Like, he didn't know a word of French, not a word. And Mario, Claudia's husband, didn't know a word of English. So, you know, Claudia and I were going to be the translators. But they were thrilled to meet Jared, my son. He and I went, and we spent, we were in the hotel for, you know, a couple of nights, and we went to visit them. And their apartment was tiny. It was like, European, you know, right?
Sure.
And we were about to leave, and Claudia said, just 1 minute. And she disappears, and she comes back with this lace-embroidered envelope, and it's sort of full of something. And she said, Judy, these are your mother's letters that she wrote to me from 1936, the very first letter, to 1947. And she said, I know I have hundreds of other letters someplace, but I don't remember where I put them. she was in her 90s by then.
Yeah.
But she said, I want you to have these letters. And I took them home with me, and it was like the most precious gift I ever received in my entire life, bar none.
Now, these were the letters then that your mother had written to her in French.
Yes, yes.
But you did not get to put your hands on the opposite of the letters that Claudia sent in English.
And I still think they are somewhere in the piles of things I inherited. Both of my parents passed away in 2008. But I just felt that when I finally read the letters, and it took me years. I couldn't read them when I was coming back when she gave them to me. My mother was really ill at the time, and I knew it was not going to be a good ending. So I couldn't read the letters from a 15-year-old girl that was my mother. I couldn't do it. 5 years later, I was going back just to visit Mario and Claudia, and I brought the letters with me, and I started reading them in my seat, and then I started sobbing, and I had to go to the bathroom and stay in the bathroom 3 hours. Fortunately, there were other bathrooms on the plane, you know? This is on the plane.
Oh, this is on the plane.
Yes, on the way to Paris, to Lyon, to visit Claudia and Mario for, you know, a few days. But I read every letter on the way, and then when I got to their apartment, you know, we just cried and we cried. And it was so special and beautiful because they were soulmates. Yeah. I call the book Soulmates and Strangers because they had never met for 30 years. It took them 30 years to meet, but they were writing all that time through World War II. And I know you had some questions about that. But,
let's go back and repeat the title of the book, because this is a book that you've written that has nothing to do with your professional life and the other books that you've written.
No, nothing.
This is a personal recounting of your mother's letters and her pen pal, French pen pal, Claudia's letters. The title of the book is?
Soulmates and Strangers.
Okay.
And they were what they wrote about, and I knew what Claudia wrote about by the way my mother referenced it. She said, when you told me you thought Clark Gable was the handsomest man alive, I said, you are wrong. they would fight, I mean, in an adorable way. But I do want to say that, you know, I dedicated this book to the two beautiful, high-spirited, passionate young girls who remained pen pals for close to 70 years, Sylvia Handler Wagreich and Claudia Raymond Bouillard Mariotti. I will love you both forever.
Very nice. And that's right in the book.
Yeah, right in the front.
That's a great story. I love the fact that for 70 years, they continued to have a relationship by being pen pals.
Yeah.
I've had a similar experience, but not as regularly as that with French friends because of a junior year abroad.
Wonderful, yeah.
And it lasted for 50 years.
Oh.
Yeah, mostly Christmas cards
and
New Year's greetings. Huh. I would send a Christmas card and then they would send me back Happy New Year. You know, it was more the way they did it. So that lasted like that, but just about once annually. Way back when I was a teenager, I had a chance to have a pen pal in France. So again, like your mother, I raised my hand and said, okay, yes, I'd like to try that. And there was a young woman over in France, but it lasted only one letter.
Oh,
I sent something
each way.
Her.
She wrote to you too?
She wrote to me. I wrote to her. And that was the end. I guess we just weren't interested enough or didn't have enough going in common interests to keep it going. So that's why I love this story about 70 years.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that when our parents die, there are so many questions that we would have liked to ask.
Yes.
Right? What are some questions you would have liked to ask your mother that you never did?
Wow, that's a good question. One of them, which really surprised me, okay, so 1936 to 1947, we find out in the next to the last letter that she married my father, Paul, whom she had not mentioned in any of the letters, and she mentioned boy after boy. This one was so cute and handsome, and he was a soldier and going to France. And I mean,
this is your mother.
Yeah. My mother wrote in her letters to Claudia about all the boys that she was meeting and dating, and she was a volunteer with, you know, writing letters to soldiers and things like that. And I was just so surprised. Who's this guy, Paul, who happened to be my father? He appeared out of nowhere at the very end. Oh, I married Paul, and he's a dentist now, and he just opened up his office. I have that letter in the book. And that's the thing I love. The book has letters or sections of the letters themselves, images, so you can read them. You know, learning history and language through letters is an amazing, amazing way to find out things that are not, like, you know, many people have written books about World War II. My mother didn't fight. She wasn't, you know, a soldier. She didn't go to another country. But she lived through the period, and there were shortages, and there were silences from when the letters stopped between the two girls. You know, I learned about World War II in a different way.
Yes,
indeed. So it's historical. Epistological is the, you know, letter-based history and language. And I got to speak on that at the American Association of Teachers of French.
In Chicago.
In Chicago,
yes.
And it was amazing. And as a result of that, a professor of language at an Ivy League university asked for permission to use some of the material in the book, the letters, in her course materials. And we've had several meetings, and I think she wouldn't be upset if I told you it was Yale University. You know, it's just an amazing collaboration. I'm so honored. And my mother would be so honored because she was a third grade teacher for 34 years. Can you imagine? She's going to Yale now.
And Judy, let's describe a little bit the book, Soulmates and Strangers, how you did it. You have a narrative that you write about the letters, and then every once in a while there's an excerpt from a letter
that comes in. Exactly. And so I start the book when I'm on the airplane going from New York to Paris to Lyon to meet with Claudia and Mario, and I read the letters on that airplane. And it's almost like a diary. I was writing my responses to the letters. I thought it might help me keep me from sobbing out loud and disturbing all the passengers. That's why I went to the ladies' room and sobbed for 3 hours there. So I read those letters, and they were so pure and beautiful and wonderful, and about two young girls growing up in a time of war and, you know, leading up to it and going past it and what went on. And I said, I have to make a book out of this. I'd written my three other corporate books based on The Power of Acknowledgement. And, you know, there is a connection because I do say in this book, you know, I dedicate it to the two beautiful, high-spirited, passionate young women. That's my acknowledgement of these two incredible. This book is the acknowledgement of those two beautiful women. And I've kept in touch. You know, Mario and Claudia did not have children. So I don't have, you know, people my age to, you know, remember things with. But she had a dear set of friends they had. And their son, Alain Bouvier, is somebody I met while I was there for the initial trip. And he and I have kept in touch. In fact, I wrote him a letter last night, and he wrote back. He's so quick. He writes back immediately. He's a professor at Sherbrooke University. And I'm so grateful for that connection to that world for me. And to the family. He knew all the members of the family and the friends. And, you know, so thank you, Alain, because I will make sure you get to hear this podcast somehow.
A shout out to Alain.
Yes, yes, definitely.
Yeah, what a great experience. I always have encouraged students to get out of their bubble, college students, and go off campus. And I like it, go abroad.
Yes.
Because that's what I did. That's what you did that summer, going to Lyon. And go to another country and just see what their life is like and how they live and how they express themselves and so on. It's the best experience.
The cross-cultural exchanges are the best. And they're immersive, you know. Mario and Claudia decided, well, he didn't know any English, and she did know some, but And I would ask for a word, and, you know, in English, they ignored me when I spoke English.
So, Judy, believe it or not, our time is up.
Wow, that was fun. Is there a part two we could have?
Hey, Judy is a fun person. Judith
Thank you.
Emless, who has joined me this evening for Perspectives here on WDIY 88.1 FM. And my thanks to James Zibrot, the buddy who is always doing great work for us on the board. Until we meet again, remember to be gentle with your neighbor.